If I ask you today what your greatest ability is, what would you tell me? I mean, some of you might say, you know what, Damon, I'm really good at building things. I'm a good mechanic. I'm a planner. I'm an organizer. Some of you might say, you know, I'm good at math. I'm good at music or sewing. Some of you guys might say, I'm good at channel surfing, you know, those kind of things. But I want to suggest today that the most important ability that we have is fading in our culture. It's a fading ability. It's a thing called responsibility. You know, responsibility is the ability to respond to life. I believe it's one of the greatest gifts that God gives us. And it's one of the things that distinguishes us from the rest of creation. You have the ability to choose how you're going to respond to what happens in your life, how you're going to respond to stress, problems, crisis, opportunities, relationships, hardships, challenges. You get to choose how you're going to respond to that. And the fact is that there are some things we don't get a choice in, like, you know, where you were born, you know, when you were born, who your parents are. Some of the things that happen in your life, you're going to face it, you have no option. But friends, you have the freedom to choose how you respond to life. And because you have that freedom, I want to suggest that you are response-able in your life. You know, that you are able to respond, you know, and to be responsible. And I think responsibility is a foundational piece. It is core to your character. It's core to your character development and advancement and growth. And responsibility needs to be in every arena of your life. Winston Churchill, he called responsibility, he said, the price of greatness, he called it. He says, if you want to do something great with your life, become a responsible person. Young people, it's one of the most important things you will develop in your life. It's a key value, and it's a fading value in our culture. And friends, when responsibility fades, well, watch out. Without responsibility, we become an accusing society. You know, it's their fault. It's their fault. Or we become an excusing society where we go, it's not my fault. And we don't own up to whatever it is. I mean, what's happened? I mean, why the fade in our society? You know, we started the series, I talked about the importance of values in our life, that values are core to what we believe. They shape everything that you do and I do in our lives. What we believe determines what kind of behavior we have, and your behavior determines who you become. And we said that's just kind of foundational as we've been looking at different topics. On a broader scale, what we believe as a society will determine our behavior as a society and ultimately will determine what we become as a culture. And we talked about some prevailing ideas of individualism, that we have made this transition and it's a fade from we to me. Life's about me. And we talked about secularism, that secularism says there's no need for God. Now, it doesn't mean that we do not believe in God. We just don't need God in our lives. And that relativism has kind of been introduced to our culture, that there are no absolutes. In other words, what's right for you may not be right for me. I've got my truth, you've got your truth, nobody can say what's right and wrong. And so what has happened is these major ideas have had a huge impact on our values and our mentality when it comes to responsibility. You know, we become a society that it's kind of a rights mentality. You know, it goes something like, I have my rights, and that's all I'm interested in, is what works for me, 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 me. And I am so into me that I'm into my rights. You know, and you think about all the rights that are out there. We got political rights, and we got children's rights, animal rights, you know, computer rights, privacy rights. I mean, I could go on and on. We are into rights. Why? Because I'm into me. I'm into me. And I'll be honest with you, at times we're so into rights, it makes it hard to think. It makes it hard to even maneuver. And I don't want you to misunderstand me. The issue is not rights, okay? Here's the issue. The issue is that we are so focused on rights that we are doing it to the exclusion of obligation. We're so into rights that we are doing it at the exclusion of being responsible, and so we got a fade going on. Rights mentality, a victim's mentality. Boils down to kind of none of my problems are my problems. Someone else caused them. And we have a culture that loves to blame. Loves to blame. You know, do you know how you spell blame? Be lame. Every time you blame someone for not being happy, I think you're being lame. You know, I could spend the whole morning talking about situations where we've made everyone victims or have chosen to be a victim. And I could just go story after story after story. And they're laughable if it wasn't so sad and there wasn't so much on the line. I mean, I recently was reading about a worker that works for a school district in Washington, D.C., and they came to work late on a regular basis, sometimes hours late, sometimes didn't even show up at all, and so finally they were dismissed from their job. The former employee sues and settles and is reinstated. Because why? Well, they had chronic lateness syndrome. They just couldn't show up, you know. And, you know, you laugh on one part, and then it makes me very sad on another. And that's the kind of thing we're talking about. We've become a nation. We've become a people. It's not my fault. It's someone else's fault. It's something else's fault. I have my rights. And so we've got all these things that we just excuse our actions and we allow to kind of defer the ownership to someone else. And friends, hear this. If you can't own it, you cannot fix it. You know, and that kind of segues into the, what I'll say, entitlement mentality. You know, I deserve this. You owe me. There's been this major shift in our culture from I am my brother's keeper to not I'm my own keeper. No, no, no. We've taken it the next step, very destructive step, to say you are my keeper. You need to take care of whatever it is. And that is in stark contrast to God's design for life. Ephesians, Paul writes, he says, live life then with a due sense of responsibility, not as men or women who do not know the meaning and purpose of life, but as those who do, make the best use of your time, despite all the difficulties of the day. You know, Paul writes those words, and he's saying, you know what? You need to live life with a sense of responsibility. And the key concept I want you to catch here is responsibility is connected to your purpose in God and your purpose in this life. And when you understand the meaning of life, when you understand why God put you here, what happens is responsibility becomes very, very important. Now, on the other hand, if you are irresponsible, it's kind of an indication that you have not figured out the meaning of life, that you have not figured out why God put you here, and it's important you figure out why you're here on this planet. And today, what I want to do is kind of reverse the fading, you know, fading from the ways of this old life and the ways that our culture is moving, and begin to start living God's way, God's design. God, start living with responsibility in our lives and start honoring God and start living what I would call a new life, as Paul talks about. Why should I do that? Well, first of all, God is watching. God's watching. Hebrews 4:13 says, there's nothing that can be hidden from God. Everything in all creation is exposed and lies open before his eyes, and it is to him that we must all give an account of ourselves. Friends, God sees everything. Someday, you will be evaluated. I will be evaluated. We will give an account to God for the however many years we got, whether it's 60 or 70, 80, 90, 100 years. That in light of eternity, that's a pretty small amount of time, but we're going to spend eternity in either heaven or hell. We know that. But this life, precursor, friends, life is a test that we're going to give an account of. I believe the most important thing that we do in this life is build our relationship with God. And that's possible through Jesus Christ. But after that focus, we are to grow. We're to grow in our faith. We're to become more and more like God, more and more like God in our character. You can't build character without responsibility in your life. You know, God cares more about your character than anything else. He cares more than how many achievements you've got, how many zeros in the portfolio, anything else. God wants you to have character. Why? Because that's who you are. That's who you are. It determines also how effective you are at kind of our second focus, and that is how we influence people for Jesus Christ. You know, we are here on this earth to grow and to reach people for God. People that don't know God. People who are lost. People who are stumbling around aimlessly in this life. We are to influence them. We are to influence our culture, not the other way around. So I was sitting this week preparing. I thought, we're losing this war. We're losing the war. Character is the factor. Character is fading. You know, God created us. He invested in us. He's gifted you. He's given you talents. He put you on this planet. He put you in the United States of America at this time in history for X amount of time, however long it may be. God's given you various opportunities. But friends, hear this. One day, God is going to look you in the eyes. Breath on the other side. You're going to stand before your Creator, and he's going to go, what did you do with the one and only life that I gave you? You know, what did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with the time that I gave you and the money and the influence and the opportunities? What did you do with your mind and your talents? Did you use them wisely or selfishly or something else? Key question, friends. Were you responsible with all the things that God gave you? You will give an account. And when, friends, when you come to terms with that, that reality, I think it changes how you live. When you realize that nothing's hidden from God, God sees it all, God knows it all, That is a game changer in how you live. And I know how this goes, because one of the things we are really good at rationalizing, and it allows us to be irresponsible, is, hey, I can do this. Nobody will ever know, right? I can cheat. Nobody's going to know. I can steal. I can cut corners. I can kind of slough off a little bit. I can operate in the gray. Friends, you may be able to fool your spouse. You may be able to fool your parents, your family. You may have your boss fooled, your neighbors fooled, your friends fooled. You may have everybody in this auditorium fooled. But you cannot fool God. You cannot fool God. God knows it all. God sees it all. I'm going to give an account, and I'll tell you, that is enough reason to live a responsible life. But here's another one. Other people are watching you. Christians, other people are watching you, and other people are affected by your life. Life is not about me. It's not about me. We are all connected. I'm going to say something that doesn't sound very American. We are not independent, friends. We are not independent. We are dependent upon one another. We are interdependent upon one another and God. You know, Paul writes in Philippians, he says, and look out for one another's interests, not just your own. Not just your own. When life's about me, I can become very irresponsible. I do what I want, when I want, how I want. Why? Because it's for me. You know, what's it to you? It's my life. It doesn't matter. It doesn't affect you. Every decision, hear this, every decision that you make affects someone. Even the secret ones. Do not be fooled on this. Every irresponsible decision affects you. It changes you. Every irresponsible decision affects someone else. It changes something. Think about it this way. If you have a family, and you've got a problem in your family, does it affect the whole family? I mean, if someone has a problem in your family, does it affect your whole family? You know, like a kid's on drugs, a parent's under stress at work, someone's hiding a sin. Everyone in the family is affected. The reality is there is no such thing as a non-affecting decision in life. Everything in your life, every decision, every moment, every choice influences someone. You know, it may influence your family, may influence your parents, may influence the kids, your brothers, your sisters, your spouse. You kind of expand that, and the choices you and I make, they influence our friends, they influence our neighbors, it influences the church, the business or the company you work for. It influences ultimately society in either a major or a minor way, but it does influence. We are interconnected. We're on this planet together. What if I ask, let's say I just asked three of you to go boating with me this afternoon, and we're going to go out on the Mississippi River. And so we all get in the boat, little boat, we get out there, and what if right in the middle, I get a drill out. Could happen. And I start drilling a hole in the bottom of the boat. Probably, I would guess, somebody's going to go, what are you doing, Damon? Oh, nothing, just drilling a hole. Damon, you can't do that. Well, sure I can. Don't worry about it. You know, it's my business, not yours. It'll be fine. No, it won't. You apparently don't get something, Damon. I mean, we're in the same boat. If this boat goes down, we're all sunk. Friends, we are in to irresponsibility, and the common excuse is nobody will know, it won't hurt anybody, and I want to say no. Wrong on all counts. I mean, if a person can say, I can get away with this, my spouse will never know. You know, a kid can say, I can do this, it won't hurt my parents. An employee can say, oh, I can do this, the company's really big, and it's not going to hurt anybody. Wrong. Friends, we've got to be responsible, because God's watching. Other people are watching. Other people are affected by every decision and choice that we make in life. And God says he'll reward us. I think that's a good reason to be responsible people. Proverbs 28:2, it says, obey the Lord your God, and all these blessings will be yours. I would encourage you this week to read that chapter. Read Deuteronomy 28. It is jam-packed. It is listed, all these blessings. They're incredible blessings. You know, he promises that, God says, if you're responsible, I'll bless your family. If you're responsible, I'll bless your labors. I'll bless your resources. I'll bless your town. I'll bless your nation. If you will promise and live with that kind of responsibility, God says, I will protect you. If you're responsible with your time and your money and your relationships, every area of life. I mean, it is a staggering chapter of how God says, I will bless you when you respond and are responsible with your life. You know, Jesus said this. He said, to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But for those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Friends, if you use your influence well, you will become more influential. If you use your opportunities well, God will give you more opportunities. If you use your possessions well, God will give you more possessions. I mean, think about it this way. Why should God give you more if you're not responsible with what you've got right now? See, God's not obligated there. God does not have to bless you when you're irresponsible. But when we are responsible, God says, I will bless you in that, in ways that you can't even imagine. So the question for me comes down to, so how do I become more responsible in my life? You know, the book of Proverbs, it's one of my favorites because it's an easy read. It has a lot to say on this topic. 31 chapters, and it talks about how to live, how to handle wealth, how to build strong relationships, how to save a marriage, how to build a business, how to raise kids, you know, how to live a responsible life, a God-honoring life. And I think about how that contrasts to society, our culture. Our culture tends to idolize irresponsibility. You know, we make celebrities out of irresponsible people. We go, oh, they're so cool. They thumb their nose at purity, but who cares? They don't like honesty, but man, they're cool. They don't like decency, but they're cool. They don't like truth. And we lift them up, don't we? We make icons out of them. We celebrate them. And we call it great. Well, God has a different word for it. A different word for people that are irresponsible in their living. It rhymes with cool. Fool. 72 times the word fool is used in the book of Proverbs. Now, I don't know about you, but when I use the word fool, what I mean is stupid, not very smart. When God uses the word fool, God means irresponsible. And God does this kind of contrast of a fool with the wise person, the irresponsible with a person that's responsible. And that's kind of how the book's set up, the book of Proverbs. I'd challenge you to read. There's 31 chapters. It's enough for every day this month. You know, just read through a chapter at a time and focus on the contrast. Focus on the contrast between the fool and the wise person, because it's a contrast between irresponsibility and responsibility. And then just do some evaluation on it each day. You know, just honestly look at your life and say, which one am I more like? Am I wise or am I a fool? You know, ask the Holy Spirit to help you so that you can see. We all got places we could grow on this one. But if you're going to change, you got to own it first. Now, I'm going to just take us through a couple areas to give you a sense of how to attack this. So if I wanted to become more responsible, you know, one of the things Book of Proverbs talks about, it says, save more money, become responsible with your money. And I bring this up because we're getting ready to go into the spending season, right? We have a society that is instant gratification. You know, buy now, pay later. Live for today, don't worry about tomorrow. I was reading the other day, the average American spends $1,300, hear this, $1,300 for every $1,000 that they make. Something wrong, isn't it? Sounds a little bit like government. They call it deficit spending. God says, not wise. It is not wise to spend, and not save. Proverbs says, wise people save the nice things they have. Fools use up everything as soon as they get it, or before they get it, maybe. Our last series, we talked about money issues, didn't we? We're doing financial peace in January. And I know people, they'll go, what's the big deal about money? Friends, it's the number one cause of divorce in our country. 50% of divorces are tracked back to money issues, in particularly being irresponsible with money. You know, the marriage vow isn't till death do us part, it's till debt do us part. Most baby boomers today that are getting ready to retire, you know how much they got put back for retirement? Zero. Because they didn't save for that day. It's why it's so important. I'm always on parents to say, you need to teach your kids how to be responsible with money. And the only way you do it is to teach them, you know. Teach them the three-box approach that we talked about, a 10-10-80 plan. You know, 10% to God, 10% savings. And then here's the really crazy thing. Live on 80%. Teach your kids to be responsible. Are you doing that? Are you modeling it? You know, just rate yourself. How are you doing in that area? Because it's about responsibility. How can I be more responsible? Well, learn to control my reactions to things. You know, things happen in life. Storms come, crises come. There are things that will happen in your life. It wasn't anything you did. It just happens, or someone else caused it to happen. But the reality is, things happen. You cannot control them. But you know what? You can control how you respond to them. Your maturity, your responsibility becomes very, very evident in how you respond to things, how you respond to stress and pressure and pain and suffering. How do you respond when something's unfair or unjust or you have a loss? Do you fall apart? Shrink back? Get angry, bitter? Spin out? Do you fall on the floor and just give up? One of the keys to responsibility is learning to control your emotions. You know, Proverbs 29:11 says, fools are quick to express their anger, but wise people are patient. and control themselves. When life comes undone, you notice I said when, not if. When your life comes undone, responsible people think before they react. Irresponsible people just react. And they usually create a lot of damage and a lot of chaos. You know, they get ticked off, they retreat, they run away, they do things that later they regret, they get angry, they vent, you know, they hurt people around them, they try and get even. It creates havoc, doesn't it? When things spin out in your life, how do you react? You know, how you doing in that area? Where would you put yourself? Got some things you need to work on? How about becoming a more responsible person by guarding your mind? And we talked a little bit about this in our purity section when we were a couple weeks ago, but this one's big to me. Because what you think is who you become. Your mind controls everything. Really, your thoughts, they are influenced by your feelings, and your feelings affect your actions in life, and ultimately, it's all here. You know, I'm responsible for what goes in here. I'm not responsible for every little tiny thought, all right? There are some things that just, they pop in your head. I call it the Bing commercial effect. You know what I mean? Someone says something, you go, oh, and it takes you somewhere, and you go, how did I get there? Things happen like that. Sometimes, evil one puts thoughts in your head. It's called temptation. And so it hits, and you're like, okay, where'd that come from? Well, Satan's trying to trip you up. And then sometimes God, through his Holy Spirit, pops something in your head. That's called inspiration. But here's my point. What comes and goes in here, there will always be little thoughts that creep in. That's not the problem. Here's the problem. The real issue, is, and it has to do with being responsible, is what is it that you allow to roll over and over and over in your mind? That's what you're responsible for. You know, I used to, Martin Luther, he had a little saying. He says, you can't keep birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. I like that. I get it. Responsible people take ownership for what they put in their minds over and over and over again. Guard your eyes. Guard your ears. Guard your mind. God will hold you accountable for what you allow in here. Some of you, this has been an issue for 20, 30, 40 years. You've just been irresponsible. It amazes me what people allow into their minds. And it disgusts me what people allow in their kids' minds. What they see, what they hear. Be very, very, very careful. This is a big one. A wise person is hungry for knowledge. Why the fool feeds on what? Trash. Love trash. Mm-mm-mm. Trashy TV, trashy movies, trashy novels, trashy music, trashy talk shows, trashy living. I mean, people go, oh, you know, it's okay. It's okay. It doesn't affect me. Who are you kidding? Really? It doesn't affect you? Friends, it is numbing. It is a fade. It is a problem. You view enough garbage and you hear enough garbage, it weakens your values. It weakens your sensitivity. In fact, you become desensitized to it. And when something doesn't bother you anymore, when you are not shocked or bothered or uncomfortable, you have already passed the threshold. I mean, how are you doing in that area? Are you guarding your mind? Because if you're not guarding your mind, you're being irresponsible. And it has dire consequences. Dire. One more. I believe we can become more responsible by admitting that we've made mistakes. You know, Proverbs says, those who hide their sins won't succeed, but those who confess and give them up will receive mercy. You just got to own it sometimes. Sometimes you just have to say, you know what? This is what I did. This is the part that I played. I was wrong, and I need to correct this. And friends, it's the only way forward. It is the only way forward. We have all blown it. We have all sinned. We have all been irresponsible in some area of our life. God doesn't want you weighed down with that. You know, I believe God wants us to live with hope. He wants us to overcome whatever it is. He wants us to grow. He wants us to be a person of character. But you have to own it so you can move forward. Otherwise, you can't move forward. And here's what I love about God. I've made some stupid decisions in my life. We could fill the morning. We won't, but we could fill the morning. I could tell you about them. And you know what God does? God takes that really stupid decision, and he has brought good out of it. Now, don't misunderstand. He didn't say it was good what happened, but he brought good out of it. But you have to be responsible and own up to it and say, you know what, I messed up. You cannot fix something you're not willing to admit is a problem. When you come clean with God, God says, you know what, I'll give you another chance. Friends, I hope you'll take the challenge and read Proverbs. Do it for a Christmas gift for yourself. And just evaluate and be honest and try and work through. Am I wise? Am I a fool? Am I being responsible or irresponsible? Ball's in your court, all right? My prayer through this series is that we would first come to terms with the fact there's something wrong. There's something wrong in our society. There's something wrong in our communities. There's something wrong in our churches. Something's broken. And that we would quit blaming and making excuses and pointing fingers and all that stuff. See, I believe it's possible to stop the fade. You know, God's word promises us, Second Chronicles says, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their evil ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins, and what? And heal their land. We need healing in this land. And friends, it starts with me, and it starts with you. Humbling ourselves before God. It's God's people praying, God's people seeking God and turning from very destructive ways. And it does not start with everybody else. It starts with me. And it starts with you. That's how you change a nation. That's how you change a culture. It's how you change your family. It's how you change the world. But it starts with you, down before God, and just owning some stuff. And saying, no more, no more. I pray you make that your life of always seeking God. And being God-honoring. It's the highest call. And if you're a Christian, it's the only thing that matters. It's having this right so that we live this right. No more fade. No more fade. Let's bow in a word of prayer together. Our holy God, we humbly come before you. God, we desire no longer to fade. God, help us to stand. Help us to stand strong before you and to not worry about everybody else, but live our lives in a God-honoring way. God, forgive us when we look more like the world than your people. Forgive us when we take the easy way instead of the right way. God, I pray that we would come before you. That we'd give you clean hands. That we would seek you, that we would pursue you with passion. And we'd wash our hands of the world and its ways. That we'd just honor you with all we say, all we do. It's in Christ's holy name we pray.